Chris, your showreel's meant to tell us who you are. How would you like the world to be?
I don't know, more robots?
Look, you're a really talented boy, but you need something real to say. And by tomorrow, you're already late.
Oh, it's hard to hide when the truth inside rises up like a tidal wave. There's been something wrong now for far too long, and I know I must break away.
Welcome to the Anglophiles Podcast, a show where two Americans break down British movies and TV shows. I'm Sheldon.
I'm Danny.
And I'm sick.
Oh no!
If my voice sounds different, it's weird to me too. I've got some stuff going on with my throat and my nose, so I apologize if I'm sniffling or coughing.
Yeah.
I will do that away from the mic and hopefully it won't be too bad. But Yeah, we've delayed recording this for a couple days, but we just have to do it. We have to get it up and out.
Yes. This is going to be a very interesting episode. Number one, what happened this week?
Lots of things have happened this week, but I've been sick, so I don't know. What happened, Danny? What happened in the outside world?
In the U.S., Trump was impeached.
Yeah, only the third president ever to be impeached.
Ever in the history of the United States.
So,
Donald Trump was impeached.
Yep.
I have some news.
What news do you have?
Apparently, Queen Elizabeth is currently looking for a social media director. The role is posted on LinkedIn. So I'm thinking...
Both of us literally do that for a living.
You and I know. I do social media.
I do digital marketing.
Yeah. So we're pretty much perfect for this position.
Yeah, yo, Queen, hit us up.
So we need to apply for it. It's on LinkedIn, so we could apply for it.
And if anybody could afford to help, like, move us to start a new position.
I did read what it reportedly pays, and it's not as high as you'd think.
No, it's probably about exactly what I would think for social media.
It's less than I used to make at my old job, so...
Yeah.
But, that's interesting. So, hey, Queen Elizabeth, we're Americans, but we're hard workers, and we're awesome.
Yeah, and we will take that pay if you allow us to sleep in the palace.
Yeah! Well, we'll also walk the corgis for free, so...
Does she still have any?
I'm sure she does.
I noticed she wasn't getting any new ones.
See, we'd know if she had social media.
That's true. Oh, and we would be so good about...
We would take pictures of her corgis.
I want the queen to have a TikTok so bad.
That
would be the most followed TikTok in the world.
We'd post pictures of her lunch. People would love that. Like, people would love that. So, we'd be perfect for it. So
honestly, she doesn't have a TikTok now.
By the time we're done recording this, we could just hop on over and we could both apply.
Yeah, I mean, we both like our jobs, but it's the queen.
Yeah. She needs to connect with the people.
For queen and country,
and
James.
And we can do this. that was interesting. I have another news segment, if you would like to hear my other one.
I would love to. And then I've got a tiny fun thing.
Oh, okay.
It's newsworthy if you consider... We'll get to it.
Okay. So my news, this I got from a BBC One video. I am going to share the video... tonight on our Facebook page.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to see the video, it'll be there. You may have already seen it by the time this airs, but this doesn't air. So this was a BBC One video.
Okay.
There's this year, a woman in Britain celebrated her 50th year of working at British supermarket chain Sainsbury's.
Mm.
Do you know of Sainsbury's?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a huge, I think it's apparently like the third largest grocery chain.
Yeah.
In,
and it's not one of the nicer ones.
Oh, really?
I think.
It looks pretty nice to me.
Okay, as far as I've heard, it's not like, I don't know. I hear people talking about Waitrose a lot.
Yeah, Waitrose or Tesco.
Yeah. I think it's a step down. It's kind of like Aldi's or something.
Do you know that for sure?
No, but I'm guessing.
We don't know anything.
I say everything with confidence and expect people to believe me, and then I learn later if I'm wrong.
Okay, well, I'm sure we'll learn. So, she just celebrated her 50th year of working at Sainsbury's. Wow. And her name is Jenny, and she is a checkout operator. So in the video, she says that she took some, they started asking her about, like, when did you start working there? She said that she had, taken some part-time work with them around the holidays, because one of her friends was like, hey, that's what I'm doing just to make some extra money. And she was like, okay. Yeah. She was, I think just a stay-at-home mom. And, she went on and did some part-time work around the holidays. And she says after it ended, they asked her if she wanted to stay on. And then she says, I stayed on for 50 years. So she just kept working there.
Man, you know, some people, whenever they find a job they like, they're like, this is good. Why change? This is what I need.
She was saying, you can get a little annoyed being called mom every day. It's nice to go to work and be yourself, which is kind of cool because, like women have identities other than that of being a mother. So, yeah, I think that's pretty cool that she made a point to be like, it's important to work, if only for that. Yeah. Recently Sainsbury's celebrated their 150th anniversary.
Wow.
Of being a store.
That's
which
incredible.
Is a long time. So they had this really big VIP event in London, and the Queen attended, and so Jenny got to go.
Oh, wow.
And she got to meet,
that's
she
great
was the
her.
First person that the Queen saw when she walked in, and she got to say hi, and they were like, you just have to see the video. It's so cute. Jenny,
oh,
they're like,
really
this
sweet.
Is Jenny. She's been with us 50 years. And the Queen's like, have you really? It's so cute. Anyway, I just thought that was really cool.
That is really cool.
Really cool.
Well, to hear what the men of England have been up to, yesterday they crowned the new Lord of the Pies.
What?
Yes, so there is the World Pie Eating Championships that take place in England at Harry's Bar in Walgate. And a man named Ian Gerard beat the 5-time champion, Martin Appleton Clare. So it's a meat pie eating contest. So it's a meat and potato pie that they were eating.
Yum.
And the winner, how fast do you think he ate this meat and potato pie?
Under a minute?
Yeah, 35.4 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, which is apparently the record.
He ate a whole pie in 30 seconds.
Yeah, 35 seconds. And he was quoted, they were asking him about his technique, and he said, last year was my first time competing, and I tried to eat it all in one go. Thought I'd break it in half this year, and it seemed to have worked.
Wow. Like, such a laid-back approach.
Yeah, and if you watch the video, I'll try to post it on our page. If you watch it, the two guys competing look exactly like the kind of guys that would do competitive pie eating.
Gotcha.
But it's kind of amazing. My favorite part of this whole story, the event starts at pie noon.
Wow. Okay, I'm on board.
That's where I first saw it, and I'm like, I have to read the rest of this story.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
If you had to compete in a pie eating contest, what pie would you choose?
Ooh,
you get
okay.
to choose the pie. What would you choose?
See, because, yeah, if you're going to go American pie, that's a lot of, like, sweet pies, and they're much bigger. But if you're going, like, the British, the meat pies, I think I could eat that faster, the kind of savoriness.
Really?
But
you'd have to chew more.
Yeah, that's the thing. You would have to chew more. And because there's not a lot of liquid that can, like, help slide it down your gullet easy.
I think I would choose cherry.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it would be the right amount of, like, you don't want something too textured, but
yeah.
I don't think you want something with no texture.
I want to go, like, lemon meringue pie.
Mm.
Yeah, I would choke all that down.
Ew.
I would love it.
Well, that was some good news.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good things happening in the world. Bad things happening to governments, but people are winning pie eating competitions, so how can you be too mad?
So, do you want to talk about the topic this week?
I would love to.
Since Christmas is coming up, we decided to watch a British Christmas movie that we had never seen. Neither one of us had seen it before.
Yeah.
So we put on Anna and the Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Which I had heard a lot about.
Yeah. To our friend Coleman, if you're listening out there, thank you for recommending this to us again and again and again.
Yep. So I had definitely seen trailers for this when it had come out.
Yeah. I remember seeing some trailers, too. People were comparing it to, it's the new Shaun of the Dead.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because it's, like, British, it's a comedy, and it's a zombie film.
Yeah.
So I can see the comparison to Shaun of the Dead, but it is quite different because, number one, it is a musical.
Yeah.
So that already puts it into...
an unabashed musical.
I don't think there's ever been a British zombie musical.
Well, I don't think there's been a zombie musical. You take the British out.
So, yeah, it is kind of different in that way. So this is the Wikipedia description of the movie. A zombie apocalypse threatens the sleepy town of Little Haven at Christmas, forcing Anna and her friends to fight, slash, and sing their way to survival, facing the undead in a desperate race to reach their loved ones. But they soon discover that no one is safe in the new world, and with civilization falling apart around them, the only people they can truly rely on are each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we sat down, we watched it. I think it's a pretty great movie.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good.
It kept me on my toes. I was not expecting a lot from this. You know, I really like low-budget musicals. Mm-hmm. I love when people go for it. Like, we've both been talking. We know that the new Cats movie is going to be, like, hated by everyone, and we're very excited to see it.
I want
to
see it.
But, like, that has huge stars, whatever. The Les Mis movie, big stars, yeah. Whatever. Give me more stuff like this, like a Harry Potter musical, stuff where you're like, these people wrote this music because it means a lot to them, mm-hmm. and they, like, probably spent a lot more money than necessary to make this thing happen. And I can really admire that about this flick.
Yeah.
Like, it felt so unique and heartfelt. Every musical number, every set design, you're like, they really cared about this movie.
Yeah.
And it comes through.
Yeah, it's interesting. There are definitely parts where I feel like scenes or songs that could have been better, but at the same time, the first half of this movie, at least, is very impressive.
Yeah.
There's lots of little things. They kind of, like, they don't do the thing that you expect. So, I like the when Anna's standing in the hallway and you hear like a wheezing, like a, and you're like, yeah. Oh, there's a zombie behind her. She turns around and there's a girl behind her using her inhaler. And she like takes a big breath in from her inhaler and then immediately gets hit with that mince pie.
Yeah.
And then she's like, ah, and runs away. Like, it was just really funny.
That felt very Shaun of the Dead to me.
Yes.
From the start where I was like, ah, it's the zombie bait and switch. Cool. Yeah. Like with him yawning.
Yes. It was the same joke, but it was done really well.
Like, they really didn't care to do the typical storytelling you would see in a lot of other movies, especially a lot of other zombie movies.
Yeah.
And it kind of culminates in the big song, talks about how, like, this isn't a Hollywood ending.
Mm-hmm.
And really from the second half, or from, like, the midpoint on, characters started dying, not in the order they would, I think, in a typical zombie movie.
True.
Where it's kind of surprising to see, you're like, I guess he's gonna die now. Interesting.
Yeah. Some of the deaths were kind of like, it was interesting the way they were paced.
It's a bit jarring, and then you think like, what was his plot line then? Or what was hers? Did it wrap up? But then I think that's kind of the point of it, is that like in an apocalypse, your story doesn't wrap up. It's just over.
You're just like, dead.
You die.
Yeah, I did kind of want to talk a bit about some of the characters and kind of what's going on. So mainly it's about Anna. She is a girl. She's dreaming of traveling for a year before going to university, if she goes to university. It's kind of like a contention point with her father.
Mm-hmm.
There's her best friend, John, who's secretly in love with her. They're like best friends, but he's super, like, you know, super secretly.
It's into not a secret he's keeping that hard.
No. Her dad wants her to go straight to college. There's the character of Steph, who is trying to do a video report on the homeless problem in the town.
Love Steph.
Steph is great. There's the vice principal, Mr. Savage, who wants her to cut the story from the school news.
Thoros of Mir.
There's student Chris, who is a filmmaker, who lacks substance in his work. And his girlfriend Lisa, who is performing in the school Christmas show. There's also Nick, who's kind of the sleazy hot guy at the school who Anna has apparently hooked up with.
Yeah, like an ex-boyfriend type.
Yeah. And then along the way, zombies are killed, and humans are bitten or killed by zombies, and different secrets come out, and they all just try to survive. What did you think about the musical numbers?
I really enjoyed the musical numbers. I thought they did a good job kind of carrying it along, where this is one of those musicals where I think the lead we're supposed to like just because we're supposed to like her.
I agree with that.
And I feel like if it wasn't a musical, I don't think we would care much for her. But the musical numbers really kind of help, and she's got, like, a great singing voice and a good smile when she's performing.
Yeah.
And so I think that that really helps kind of keep the tone light and moving things along quickly. A lot of the songs you don't remember after they just happen. Like, they're kind of nice and pleasant, but there's only, like, one or two that I'm, like, thinking of now, and we watched it a couple days ago.
I think the first two numbers, the Breakaway...
Mm.
Yeah. And then the Hollywood ending. Yeah, I think those first two numbers are the strongest.
I do love the number
and
about...
They're really good.
The sleazy ex talking about how good he is at killing zombies.
That's a really good number.
That was
number.
A great number. And then he gets a little reprise at the end.
Yeah. I think the first two numbers are so good. I think the choreography's good. I think their voices sound really good. So I kind of, when the movie started and those first two, like, the song of them, like, all their I Want song is very good. And then they do their Hollywood ending song in the cafeteria. And the choreography of, like, all the students, like, dancing and everything was so good that it kind of, like, for me, set the bar really high. And I was like, whoa. Yeah,
what is this going to be?
This is amazing. And then I think the numbers kind of, like, as they go on, they kind of get weaker and weaker.
Yeah. I don't think they had the money to have as many extras at the end.
It was really good, though. Yeah, I was going to ask you, how do you think it ranks as a film? How do you think it ranks as a Christmas movie?
Ooh.
And then how do you think it ranks as a musical?
I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. It's probably not one that I would add to, like, a Christmas classics list. You know, like, one to watch every holiday season. I think it's a movie people should check out. I think it's a lot of fun. It's very unique.
It is very Christmassy.
It is more Christmassy than I thought. I thought we were kind of doing it as a joke, where we're like, oh, it's set at Christmas.
It's Christmassy.
Yeah, it's very Christmassy.
There's like Christmas imagery everywhere. They fight zombies in a, like, kind of like a Christmas tree farm type of thing. They run from a zombie that's dressed as a snowman.
And there's a Santa zombie.
Yeah.
Does a jump scare at the very end.
Yeah.
She fights them with like a candy cane that's been shaved to a point.
Lawn ornament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like it, Christmas is really at
it's
the
quite
core.
Christmassy.
But it, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's not gory enough to be like a Christmas horror movie like Krampus, but it's also not funny enough to be like an Elf type movie. I think it's fun, it's cute, it's nice and heartwarming. I think it's a good movie, but I think it's not quite great. I really admire it for everything it did and was trying to do.
Yeah.
But,
How do you think it is as a musical?
As a musical, like I mentioned, like, other than Hollywood ending, I don't think the songs are... They don't stick in your head, but they're good. They're fun. I think every character gets a great song, and even, like, I love a good villain song. And when the vice principal is singing about, like, how it's his school...
Did you like that?
I did.
I thought that was kind of the worst song.
Oh, I loved it.
And I listened to the soundtrack today just to kind of, like, get another feel for the songs. And I think that's maybe the worst song.
I think I just love his performance during the song. Like, we said it whenever we were watching it. It felt so much like the guy in Moulin Rouge, the Duke.
He sounds like the Duke in the way that he's speaking and singing.
Yeah.
But the way that he was, like, moving around. So I love movie musicals.
Yeah.
I love them. Moulin Rouge. This movie gave me little flashes here and there of other movie musicals, so I got a little bit of Reefer Madness from that number, the vice principal's number.
Yeah.
I also was getting a little feel of Repo the Genetic Opera.
Okay.
Because that's also a very, like, kind of low budget, they kind of, like, threw it together, and it isn't, like, the greatest thing, but people love it, and it, like, is really good for what it is. Yeah, so...
It also reminded me a bit of My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is a TV show, but it is one where some of the
numbers
are hit or miss, but usually they are very weird and out there, and you're laughing because you're like, I've never seen this in a song before.
Yeah.
And it felt like that was a lot of these musical numbers as well. And it was very personal. Like, I think both this and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, every number you feel like you're scratching off the veneer of who this character is, and if even if they won't share their feelings, emotions to people via dialogue in the story, they'll break it down in song.
Mm.
And I think that's nice.
So I think that some of the musical numbers at the end don't really land, and I think the ending itself doesn't really land.
Yeah.
And I think it's a shame because...
I think they killed the wrong characters and let the wrong ones survive.
There are a bunch of moments in this movie that I love.
Yeah.
So many. It's kind of a shame that by the end I was like, oh, yeah, that was pretty good. Because, like, there are some really brilliant little bits in this.
Oh, yeah.
We laughed about it, so I know you know what I'm going to say. But I love when they're in the ball pit and Chris and John are talking about the different zombie celebrities. They're like, ooh, zombie Justin Bieber, zombie Beyonce. And then he goes, oh, hey, zombie Taylor Swift. And John just goes, why would you say that? Why would you even say that? Tay-Tay's fine.
Tay-Tay's fine.
He was so... The way that actor did that line was very good. He was very concerned.
Yeah.
Like, don't you even joke that Taylor Swift is a zombie right now. So I thought that was very good.
I think that was.
Yeah, I thought there were some good things in here. So I think there are a lot of movies, especially like teen movies, where... You have the two best friends that are different genders, and one of them is, like, secretly in love with the other one.
Yeah.
We see that so many times.
Yeah, all
and
the time.
What's really annoying is that so many movies have it to where it's so obvious to the audience that this one is in love with this one. Like, how can the main character not even see it?
Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, like, everything. So I really liked that in this... They kind of have it to where she knows. She's not pretending. Like, she kind of just tells him, like, you're my best friend. Like, she's not stupid.
Right.
She knows that he really likes her. And I thought that was kind of refreshing.
But it is something that's so real and hard for young people to figure out how to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, hey, I like you as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You are way into me.
Yeah.
How do we move forward
with this?
It's
always tricky. It's really tricky.
Yeah, I think the older you get, the more you learn how to be friends with people.
Yeah.
Even people that aren't into you. But when you're young, that's devastating.
It's hard.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
And I'm glad and sad that they kind of, the way that he goes out and dies, it felt kind of cliche in the modern movie sense that he, like, dies... quote-unquote saving them, I guess.
Yeah.
Drawing people away, and they all bit him. But it was kind of a very upsetting moment where he does die and you realize, like, she's gotta figure out who she is without, like, this best friend, without her other half.
Mm.
And she has to move forth on her own.
That was very sad.
I think it was, that was why it was so much more upsetting that the douchey guy ends up coming with them at the end, where I was like, no, you're good without him.
He lived.
Like, just you and the American girl should be going on together. That would have been great, just the two of them.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to take a little break?
I would love to.
I would love to break down some of the best parts, some of the best songs, and some of the best performances from the movie, but yeah, let's take a little snack break.
Let's do it. All right, we are in our snack break. It is the delicious food tasting podcast within our other podcast in which we try a British snack that we've never had before. But this time we're trying something that both of us have a tiny bit of experience in, and we genuinely can't remember if we've done this on the podcast
or not. We haven't. We've never done these on the podcast.
It sounds so strange. I feel like we
have. Okay, so we're going to try... What is a British Christmas classic treat?
Mm-hmm.
It is a mince pie.
Something that confounds all Americans, I think.
Yeah, just because mincemeat is a thing here, not really mince.
Yeah.
And I know, like,
but even then, mince isn't... Yeah, mincemeat, yeah.
Well, also in the UK, I've heard people refer to ground beef as mince. So, what the hell is... No, I know what this is. This is fruit.
Yeah.
Fruit and spices.
Well, I think mince may just be like a bunch of chopped up stuff together.
I guess so. So, yeah, I have seen a lot of articles going around. Like, I tend to look at articles or, like, at least notice articles going around about British stuff just because we do this podcast and because we love England.
Yeah.
So I've seen quite a few articles going around lately about, like, these are English Christmas traditions. And I click on them all being like, ooh, what am I going to learn? I know all of it usually. but mince pies are always on there. Yeah. Always. So they, I kind of feel like these are a British Christmas staple.
Let's talk about them.
So first of all, the brand that we got is Walker's.
Classic.
Which is a brand that I grew up eating their shortbread.
You do love it. They're Those Scottish. Are the ones, the little Scotty dogs.
I think the original one was just the rectangles.
But now they do.
Now they have all kinds of shapes.
Oh.
But when I was growing up, all we had were the rectangles.
Interesting.
Anyway, so these are Walker's mince pies. They look really good.
Yeah.
So let's try
it. Got three little holes in the top.
Try
it. Nice and crimped on the side. It's a good bake. No soggy bottom.
No soggy bottom. It's brown on the bottom.
Mary Bear would like it.
Right.
They're small. I mean, they're, yeah, they would fit in your hand. I think, but I mean, I don't even know what size this is. There's nothing else that's this size.
Tiny pie.
But it is a tiny pie. You are right. But it's one where, like, you can't, you could eat it all in one bite, but that would be difficult.
You could eat this in 35 seconds.
Oh, I think I could do that. I won't, but I could.
All right, let's try it.
Let's try it. The outside of it, the pie crust, almost has a cookie consistency.
Mm,
it, mm-hmm. like, it's so much more crisp and sharp than most pies. I think especially most American pies that are used with, like, such wet ingredients,
mm-hmm.
we're used to the crust being a little softer.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, since everything inside is so stodgy and, like, dry together, I think the outside stays crunchy and crisp.
I really like the crust on this.
The so filling.
It is different from a pie crust, but I think that's because it's made by Walker's. They're known for the shortbread, so I think they do
kind of...
That's
probably why it tastes like a cookie.
I think they do make it very buttery and very much like, yeah, like a thicker, crunchier cookie. Yeah, what do you think of the filling?
I don't know. I mean, it reminds me of, like, Fig Newtons, kind of. You know?
It tastes better than a Fig Newton.
Oh, yeah, it tastes better. But it's that thing that, like, whenever you bite into something and you can tell that there are, like, several different textures in your mouth and different flavors happening, and you're trying to pick them apart, and you're like, I kind of know what these flavors are.
Mm.
And so it's both, like, delicious and challenging to eat.
Okay.
Like, it's not my favorite. I love the outside, like you said.
Yeah.
The mince itself, I don't know. Like, it is unique. Like, there's nothing else like this. I'll give it that. That this is a very unique, strange, interesting pie.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you made this the size of an actual, like, a huge pie,
yeah.
like a 10-inch pie, I don't think it would be good.
I agree with you that it's probably better in the small...
This handheld.
Small
form.
Dose.
Yeah.
Because it is very rich. The filling is very sweet.
But
and
there
there's a lot of spice in there.
There's a pie place out here. We were just talking about the pie shop yesterday. But there's a pie place out here in L.A. that does a full-size mince pie.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a mince meat?
Yeah. No, it's mince like this.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't want to try it.
Mm. So according to Wikipedia, a mince pie is a sweet pie of English origin filled with a mixture of dried fruits, spices, called mincemeat, that is traditionally served during the Christmas season in much of the English-speaking world. Its ingredients are traceable to the 13th century. When returning European crusaders brought with them Middle Eastern recipes containing meats, fruits, and spices. Ooh.
Whoa.
It's really good. They were actually traditionally shaped in an oblong shape to resemble a manger and were often topped with a depiction of the Christ child.
Wait, what? What? That is the most wild thing in the world. To just be like, yeah, we're going to make a manger-shaped pie to celebrate Jesus.
Yeah.
And we're going to fill it with spicy fruit.
Yeah, well, they're very, very popular in Britain. I saw them in, I think the first time I saw them were in Harry Potter. What's the Harry Potter movie?
Yes, the Harry Potter movie.
No, it's the one where Harry's at the Burrow for Christmas, and he and Jenny are, like, sitting on the couch, and then Ron sits down with, like, a giant plate of mince pies.
Yeah.
It was the first time I saw them.
I think that's the sixth one. No. Mm. Yeah, it's either the fifth or the sixth. I think it's the sixth one.
Well, mince pies are in Anna and the Apocalypse. Because that's sure what, what's his name, Nick?
Yeah.
That's the thing he throws at the girl with the inhaler.
Yep. Pelts her in the face with
she
it.
Cries and runs. Well, that's a really good snack. I like the mince pie.
I do too. I think it's a good seasonal pie. I think this is something I would not want all year round.
No.
But once it's in that point of year where we've all kind of just given up and we're like, I'm gonna have extra pounds by the end of this year, I'm not doing well, just eat these. Like,
they're really good.
Yeah. I imagine this probably to a lot of British people is very like, it's not the holiday season until you eat this. And once you do, then you're like, oh yeah, now we're in full swing.
It's Christmas.
Yeah. I think this feels like Christmas. It tastes like Christmas feels.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The good and the bad.
It has really good seasoning.
Yeah.
Well, these are delicious.
Yeah, that was very good.
Let's get back to our topic.
Let's walk on back.
So I thought we could talk about some of the best parts of the movie.
Let's.
For one, I love that part early on in the movie when the two kids that are playing the penguin in the Christmas show are running down the hallway. It's the guy and the girl, and they're dressed in those big penguin suits, and they're running and running and running, and the vice principal's like, get back on stage! And they slowly stop and then turn around and then, like, really sadly walk back. I really love that moment. I don't know why. It's just really funny. And I forget what he calls them. He's like, flightless chances.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all can identify with that, like, that moment in high school where, like, you are being forced to do something you don't want to do, and you think, like, oh, I can get away. I don't have to... Oh, caught by a teacher.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing worse than being caught by a teacher and having to just, like, trudge back in.
It's just really funny to see two people dressed as penguins doing it. I also... So, I really like the, I really like the moment when they're in the ball pit. They're talking about the zombie celebrities. I really like when they're at the bowling alley and Anna and John are both, like, taking the broom and trying to hit the shoes into the shoe bin. That's really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are some parts you like?
I mean, I really like, you mentioned it before, but the Christmas tree farm, whenever they go through there for, the shortcut, immediately you know, you're like, well, this is the worst decision you could make.
Yeah.
And then they go through and promptly everyone dies. Or all his friends die and they have to get out of there.
Yeah.
I really liked the whole storyline of, like, the American girl that was just trying to get a story.
Yeah.
Like, she was probably my favorite part of the whole movie, and I was sad that it wasn't about her.
So, that is something that I was gonna talk about when we talked about actors, but I will talk about her right now. This girl playing Steph, the actress's name is Sarah Swire.
Okay.
I am immediately a huge fan of her just from this movie. I would say she probably is the best part of this movie.
Yeah, she's so good.
Really, really funny. Like, noticeably funny. It seems like it comes very easily and naturally to her. And honestly, if I were a casting director in charge of casting for Doctor Who, I would cast this girl as the next Doctor Who based solely on the performance from this movie.
Given a super fresh doc.
She's so funny, but some of her comedy is very subtle.
Yeah.
She also had a really nice, like, Peter Capaldi. So she had this really great Peter Capaldi, like, scowl. And when she would yell, it was giving me, like, Peter Capaldi flashes. But then she would, like, there was a part where she, like, broke into the vice principal's office to, like, steal back her car keys.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes in there, and the things that she was doing with her, like, neck and her head were very, like, weird Matt Smith doctor stuff. And I just,
she's just got the doctor in her.
She's got this really funny physicality where she's like, she was acting not quite human. but whatever it was delightful. And yeah, I think she is great and I love her.
Yeah, let's give her like 6 years and then see if we can't get her to be the doctor.
I want her to be the doctor next year.
Well, no, I'm saying like, let's build up a tiny bit of her career so they have no choice but to cast her.
Nope, just
do it now. She just needs like one other role where she'll get nominated for a BAFTA and then people will be like, oh, what's she gonna do next?
Yeah.
She needs that one thing.
You're right.
But yeah, I really loved her. It felt like she was so good at physical comedy.
The part when they're under the inflatable pool they're walking under the pool, like, trying to, like, hide from zombies. And then they set it down, and an old lady zombie sits on her head, and she's just like, what?
And then it pees on her. Which may be the first time in any zombie film, I think, that you show a zombie urinating.
Well, I didn't really show it, but you hear it.
But that was the implication.
Yeah, no, you hear it. And they're like, it's okay, you won't get you. You're covered in plastic. And she's like, it's warm plastic.
But I think there are some interesting implications with the zombies in this film. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they don't bother to tell you, like, it's one of those, we're to the point with zombie movies that, like, once somebody's bit, we're like, we get it. We don't care about time frames or anything.
I also like that in this movie, they don't act like they've never heard of zombies before. Like, they're like, bash their brain in, just like in movies. Like, they know.
They get it.
They know how to deal with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about some of the other characters then? I mean, we've talked about, like, John's crush. But what about the other couple? Or, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, I love John. I think this actor who played John, he's really cute, and at first, when they first show him, he's, like, really dorky, and you're like, what are you? He's really sweet, and I think he has an incredible voice.
Yeah, he's got a really good
voice. He has, I think, one of the best voices on the cast.
I thought for sure they were gonna do, like, a turn, and he wasn't actually in love with her. He was in love with, like, the asshole guy.
Yeah.
I was pretty certain that was gonna happen.
That would have been a very good twist. No, he was really good, I thought. There, in that first number, the breakaway number,
yeah.
I think that's what it's called, when the, like, bully kind of walks past him when he's sitting down and, like, drags a marker across his face. And puts, like, this mark on his face. Like, it just... I just felt so bad for him. It was like, we've all been there. We've all been bullied. And I just, I felt so bad for him in that moment. He was so good in that song.
Yeah, he was really good. Love his Christmas sweater with the lights on it.
That's another moment I was going to say. I burst out laughing when he was a zombie and he was turned. At the end, they're showing all the people that you love that are now zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting there twitching. And then his Christmas sweater lit up, and he kind of, like, looked at it, and it just made me laugh so hard.
Yeah. I did like them showing, like, everyone is zombies.
It was sad.
It was sad, but it was poignant. I think it's strange what they're trying to do with, like, Chris and Lisa the whole time.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah, what did you think about Chris and Lisa?
I did not care at all about their relationship.
Hmm.
Because it just felt like they were two other young people in this world. And I think they did a good job showing that, like, whenever Chris and Steph and everyone are, like, stuck together, Lisa's, like, trapped in the school and they're trying to get to the school to get her. And there are a couple of moments where, like, Chris and Steph are, like, bonding. And you can kind of see it in their eyes that they're like, hey... If this was another time, like, another situation, this could be something. Like, the two of them had something, like, some spark.
Yeah.
And it made it that much sadder whenever, like, basically they sacrificed themselves at the end so that she could get away. But he did it for her, too, for her girlfriend.
I think that Chris and Lisa's characters aren't very fleshed out on their own.
Yeah.
But I did really think that they were kind of sweet as a couple. In the Hollywood ending song, everyone in the song, all the kids in the school are like, basically the song is like, life isn't like it is in movies. You don't get what you want. Life sucks. And it's a great song.
Yeah.
But like, towards the end, Chris and Lisa kind of are just, like, in this lovely little duet with each other where they're like, everything is like the movies and we're in love. And it was really sweet.
Yeah.
Although the kids keep saying, like, no such thing as a Hollywood ending. But then Chris and Lisa are singing and she's like, I'll have a Hollywood ending. And it's at the beginning of the movie, but that's when I was like, well, she's gonna die.
Yeah.
Or they're gonna die. Like,
and then, but they do get the most Hollywood ending. They die in each other's arms. I mean, that feels the most Hollywood out of the whole movie.
That part, I thought, they did a very good job of.
Yeah.
Because it was super sad. They both got bit, like, at the same time. And then they just kind of, like, look at Steph and they're like, just go, get out of here. You know, like, you can make it.
We can't.
And they just kind of, like, there's this moment where they just kind of, like...
just dancing with each
other. They just kind of, like, hold each other and they know, and they, like, kiss.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish they would have built it up a little more. I'm sure I've heard there's, there are multiple cuts of this movie, and the U.S. version is the shortest by far. Mm. Like, the original festival circuit is, like, 15 minutes longer than what we saw.
Interesting. I would like to see that.
There is a song that they cut that features, I mean, they cut it for good reason because the vice principal is, like, singing about the death of school children.
Mm.
And I think after the first round on the circuit, pretty much everyone is like, we don't need this. Like, in a movie where it's about everything else, like, we don't need this too.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
But I think they could have done more, I think, with those two to really build up the romance and the love. Like, they kept telling us that, like, oh yeah, he cares for her, he's gotta get back to her, and she's, like, taking after his grandma, but, like, I just didn't, it didn't hit as hard as it could have whenever they did die in each other's arms.
Oh, it hit me very hard.
Okay.
I think that moment really worked. I think it was one of those moments where, like, this whole movie is, like, a little bit satire, and it's a little bit, like, tongue-in-cheek, because it's, like, a silly music, it's like a comedy musical. But that was one of the moments that I genuinely cried.
Aw, yeah. It was pretty good. Well, what do you think about the ending? Like, basically everyone's slowly dying, and Anna's got to take on the vice principal to save her dad.
I mean, that played out, I think, how we thought it would. It's okay. I honestly think the first half of this movie is so much better than the second half.
Yeah.
So it ends. I've seen a lot of
movies like that recently.
And then the last couple numbers are pretty good. It is just weird because, like, the last two people alive are Anna and Nick, and then they both have this little song at the end about, like, how everything's down, but, like, I'll still believe, like, it could work out. And it's just, you're like, why is Nick still alive?
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
He was an asshole the entire movie. He was a jerk.
He's really good at killing zombies, he told you.
Yeah, but, like, he has no redeeming qualities until he, like, tells Anna a really sad story, which I think was, like, a really good moment when he basically said, like, his dad got bit.
Yeah.
His dad got bitten by a zombie, and then his dad was like, don't let me down, you have to kill me. And so he basically had to, like, take his dad out. And that was, like, a good story.
Yeah.
But I don't think it made me care about him that much more.
It made me care about him a little bit. Where
but
it's
does
like,
he deserve to live at the end?
But I think that's the thing. Nobody in this movie deserved anything.
Except, like, Steph.
Nobody deserves to survive this apocalypse.
Steph did.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very weird grouping of characters at the very end that all end up together. It's odd. I think that's probably the trouble with, like, writing a movie musical. You usually, or in any musical, in the beginning and the end, you need a huge big cast number.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're killing off all of your cast,
you
by
can't
the end,
have that.
You can't have it.
Yeah.
And so we're stuck at the end wanting something big, this huge, like, let's wrap it all up, let's have, like...
They could have had the zombies sing.
They definitely could have. I think that was probably
the best. And I would have been okay with it.
Because I think then you could, like... do, I think what a lot of musicals do in the final number or the penultimate number, they tend to, like, give you, like, 10-second snippets of all the songs that have come before.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, thematically wrap everything up and show you, like, oh yeah, that's how far we've come. I remember. And it was missing that element at the end.
What would you think if you saw this in a small, like, on stage?
Mm.
I think this would be great on stage.
I think this could be a really good stage
because
play,
I think the comedic performances would be great live, and I think the songs would also be more impressive live.
Yeah, so I think sets aren't that complex.
This is really good, but I think if I saw this performed by a small cast on stage, I think it would have been really impressive.
Yeah. Could you also imagine seeing this? So this film debuted at South by Southwest, and they said even this was a movie that most of the cast saw it for the first time at South by Southwest. So they hadn't seen it.
Interesting.
And it was just something that was just dropped onto the world. We're like, here, take this. Which I love that about festival circuits, where you're just like, I'm going to sit through a movie. I have no idea what this is about. Here you go.
Wow.
And I like the tenacity to debut it at a foreign film festival, where it's like, we think this audience will be into it. And yeah. I mean, Austin, Texas are weird as hell. They would be into this kind of thing. So I could see it being like a good move, and obviously it paid off. Like it's you know, getting a lot of word of mouth getting passed around.
I think it's, yeah, I think it's definitely worth a watch. It's very good. Do you want to talk about Paul K at all?
You mean Thoros of Mir?
Yes.
I love him.
When the vice principal showed up, I was like, who is that? We know who is this? Oh. Like, he looks so familiar.
And we got so excited.
We Googled him.
And we realized it was Thoros.
Yeah, the guy from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. He looks good with the beard.
Yeah, he looks very different.
He was very one-dimensionally evil.
Yeah.
His
name is Savage, Mr. Savage.
Yeah, which I thought was great.
Very on the nose.
They're like, we don't even care. He's a bad guy in a musical.
I remembered when I saw this, because in Game of Thrones, he's a pretty, like, serious character, I guess. Yeah. But when I saw that he was in this, it reminded me that he is in Spaced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how British do you think this movie is?
I think it's pretty British. They definitely make some references to things that I think the average American wouldn't really know. They talk about uni.
Oh. Well, yeah, I mean. I think, yeah, there's a lot in it that I think they are satirizing, like, American musicals in a lot of it, or American romantic movies, and I don't think many American movies would even have a song, No Such Thing as a Hollywood Ending, because that, I think, probably wouldn't get made.
No, because that's super pessimistic.
Yeah, and you can't go against Hollywood.
Yeah. Like, there were moments, like, the first couple numbers reminded me just a little bit of, like, a High School Musical, but once they did that whole song, Hollywood Ending, I was like, oh, this is,
shots fired, yeah.
Yeah, like...
they know what they're doing.
In America, they'd be all like, every kid would be like, everything's great! So, yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite song?
I mean, like I said, I really love the song where the guy is talking about how great at killing he is.
Sorry, I've got the list. That is Soldier at War.
Yep. I'm a soldier at war.
That was really good.
He's just, like, so cocky and great. Like, I think if there had been more stuff showing his bravado and how much he's just, like, a killing machine, and then we got that speech about how, like, he had to kill his dad, and he's kind of, like, traumatized by it, but it's like, this is my purpose now, like, I have
Maybe
to do this.
Maybe that's why he's so good at killing them. Like, he's already been through the hardest kill you'd ever have to make.
Yeah.
So.
And when your dad tells you, like, don't let me down.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing where you're like, this is what I do now. Yeah. I save everyone by killing these things.
Wow.
And I wish they would have leaned on that a little more, and maybe his character could have been somewhat stronger, but I love that song. What
about
you?
There's also Human Voice, which is the one they sing in the bowling alley.
Oh, yeah.
Which I really liked. There's Turning My Life Around, which is Anna and John both on their way to, like, meet. They're, like, waking up in the morning, and they're singing and dancing, and they don't realize there's zombies all around them.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like, doo-doo-doo-doo.
Just having fun. Very Shaun of the Dead.
That number I thought was very cute. The dance choreography was really good, and their friendship is very believable. I totally buy them as, like, a male and female best friend. They're so cute.
Yeah, reminded me a lot of my, like, I had a female best friend in high school, and I think we were very similar in a lot of ways to these two.
There's It's That Time of Year, which is the song that Lisa sings at the Christmas show, which is like, oh, it's a cute little Christmas song, but it was very dirty.
Yeah.
very dirty.
Raunchy.
It was really funny, though.
But it was one of those things where, like, I didn't get, like, so was she making that up on the spot?
What do you mean?
Like, it felt like the vice principal... this was the first time he had ever heard any of these songs, but it also felt like he was the director of the play.
Yeah.
And
maybe
so
she didn't perform it up until the actual performance.
But then I didn't believe that.
Okay, well, let me tell you a story of something that happened in my high school.
Ooh, hit me with it.
There was a girl that I went to high school with who was like, oh, I'm going to do the song Hey Big Spender. Hey Big Spender.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, cool. Day of rehearsal, she was like, oh, I lost my voice. I can't perform and I'm not feeling good, so I can't do the dance. And they were like, are you sure? And she was like, I can't. She basically said she couldn't do it.
Yeah.
She was going to have to just do it live. So we never saw it, the rehearsal. And day of the show, she did a very inappropriate dance on a chair.
Yeah.
And so that type of thing can happen.
It's just baffling. Like, in any of the theaters I were in, they would be like, okay, well, then you're not doing the number.
It makes sense.
If you don't show it to us, you're not doing it.
That would be responsible.
And that's why I guess it felt like this vice principal who wanted so much control.
Yeah.
So much that he, like, sought out these penguins who were trying to run away and made them get back to rehearsal.
Well, it's also possible that she rehearsed it, but kept it very, because if you just sang this and, like, didn't play into, like, the innuendos, you could maybe hear it and not really notice.
Maybe.
And it's possible she didn't have the guys out there dancing with the candy canes either, so I don't know.
Yeah, but that just felt a little odd to me.
It was really funny, though.
It was pretty funny.
And then there's the fish wrap, which is the wrap that the penguins do.
Oh, yeah, that was not great.
Hollywood Ending, Breakaway, and then the very first song, Christmas Means Nothing Without You, which is the song that's playing on the radio that Anna turns off. Yeah, I think my favorite one is Hollywood Ending. Breakaway is so good. Like, I would add Breakaway to, like, a musical theater playlist.
Ooh, okay.
But Hollywood Ending, I think, is the best song.
Yeah, it's very catchy.
I think it's the best number, too. The choreography is very good. I also love when John starts singing and he's like, it's the most British thing I've ever heard. He says something like, what am I doing? This is Nae Disney.
Oh, yeah.
N-A-E.
Yeah.
Which I see a lot of Scottish people say.
I was going to say, that didn't feel British. That felt, but I guess
it might be Scottish.
Yeah.
To say instead of not, like, this is nay, but that was really funny.
It is kind of interesting to watch British content and see their influences from neighboring countries.
Yeah,
because I think a lot of American content does have influences from Mexico and Canada. Like, I think a lot more Canadian than Mexico, but, like,
true.
I think we take Spanish lingo the same way. Like, Nay Disney and,
true,
like, adios and stuff gets brought into a lot of American expressions.
Mm.
And so it's interesting to see it pop up, where I'm sure it's very commonplace to a lot of British speakers.
True.
So what would you think? Would you recommend this movie to people? What would you tell somebody to get them to watch this?
I would say if you like zombie movies, this is pretty good. I think if you like musicals, I think it's pretty good.
I would start with that, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's more a musical than it is a zombie movie.
I agree. I don't think it stands out as a zombie film.
Yeah.
But I do think it's really fun. I really think
it's a fun Christmas musical movie. Like, if you're not scared by a tiny bit of, like, blood and gore, like, it is a very cute movie.
Yeah.
If you're looking for, like, a spooky zombie movie, this isn't it. Don't, like, watch something else instead.
If you want to see the next girl who's going to be Doctor Who, Sarah Swire, she's in this movie. She's amazing.
2026, the new Doctor Who.
I am going to start my campaign now.
So, right now we have Jodie Whittaker. The next one is going to be Rupert Grint, and then we can have this girl.
Yeah, he does need to be a ginger at some point.
Right?
Yeah.
And Rupert would
because
be
of that David Tennant moment.
Yeah. Well, and doesn't Matt Smith have it too, where he, like, looks at his hair?
Oh, is it Matt Smith? I thought it was David Tennant.
I think they both do it.
Interesting. He's got to be a ginger at some point.
The writing of that show.
Mm.
We'll get to Doctor Who at some point.
Are you ready to guess your word?
Let's do it. I am on pain meds right now, so it's either going to help me draw in all of my encyclopedic knowledge, and yes, I realize the way I just said that was weird, or if it's gonna just cloud my judgment, but either way,
okay,
hit me with it.
Right,
what
well,
word do we have?
It's a phrase, not a word.
Okay.
You may know what this is.
Okay.
But if someone were to say, as the actress said to the bishop,
oh,
what does that mean?
Oh, okay. As the actress said to the bishop.
In what scenario would somebody use that phrase?
I think that's probably context. Like, you're about to set them up with something that's like, I'm about to say something naughty, but here is, I'm going to excuse it, as somebody else said to somebody more pious than you, as the actress said to the bishop, naughty catchphrase. You know, I think it's kind of like, pardon my French, this is what I'm about to say. Like, excuse my language, and then you say something bad.
Well,
I think that's what it is, as the actress said to the bishop, where, like, you, I would never say this to a bishop, but an actress would. Like, she has no tongue.
Okay, that's a pretty good guess. Very entertaining, as always.
As always, I know words and phrases.
So,
and things.
I believe that is technically wrong, but you are right that it has kind of a dirty connotation.
I felt like
So, as the actress said to the bishop is basically the traditional English way to say that's what she said. So you'd say something like, hey, can I sit on that? As the actress said to the bishop.
I don't get it, and I love it.
And it's great, it's funny.
Like, the more I think about it, the
because
less it
what,
makes sense.
That's though. What it means, though. It's what she said.
Yeah.
It's what the actress said to
the
bishop.
Bishop.
Yeah. It's funny. It's really funny.
That's so strange.
I've heard it in TV before, but I wasn't sure if you had, so.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We're going to post a picture of our awesome mince pies.
So delicious.
On our Instagram and our Facebook. You can find us. We are Anglophiles. Files with an F. Yeah, you can also send us an email, anglophilespodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, please reach out and, you know, send us any corrections if you have. I'm sure that we've gotten plenty of things wrong in this episode and others. Correct us. Feel free to send us other British news you would like us to talk about.
If you have any British words that you would like to recommend that Sheldon guess, you can email them to us.
Yeah, send it to us an email. You can also recommend us doing TV shows and movies. We've got a bit of a backlog right now where we've got a lot coming up, but we're always ready and willing to accept more. You guys have such great taste, and there are so many good shows that we wouldn't have sought out on our own had you not suggested. So keep sending those in. We would love to check out more, especially more comedy shows from like the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, we want another Fools and Horses.
Yeah, that was
find us something
a brilliant
like that.
Surprise.
That was a great show.
Or what was the one where they're all working in the shop?
Are You Being Served?
Love Are You
we
Being Served.
We need another Are You Being Served.
I wasn't expecting to love that
so
one
good.
So much.
Yeah, amazing. All right, everyone, thank you for joining us. Keep calm, and remember,
there's no such thing as a Hollywood ending.
What was I thinking? This is Disney, I'm way off script and losing the plot. Things don't work out that way. I'm not McConaughey turning the charm on, calling the shots. If this was a movie, maybe she would be willing to share my world. I'm starting to realize sometimes the nice guys don't always get